Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Leng.
And I'm Bobby Norris. Welcome back, babes.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
How was Gay Parade?
Extremely gay. Shock horror. especially at the Lady Gaga concert. No, it's good. It was really nice to once again be away. I feel like I'm what's the word? Carmen Sandiego, whatever, like, where in the world is she next? It was just nice to be abroad, and Paris is a bit like London. There's not really any restrictions anymore, like COVID-y stuff. So just kind of went about our days and did lots of walking around the city and lots of popping into little cute bars and lots of eating croissants and all the, you know, stereotypical shit you do. I mean,
always better in France. I mean,
always better. And the coffee was made. But yeah, I mean, Bob, I won't lie. I weighed myself on Monday and it wasn't pretty. That week away has really taken its toll. But you know what you're going to do? I've got to enjoy myself.
You can't let your weight down on holiday. Exactly. And after the last couple of years, come on, there's a lot of time for making up for.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah. You've turned into like a modern day Judith Chalmers. You're always somewhere in there, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually looking at maybe going away for a couple of days in September as well. So, where are you off to?
Anywhere in mind?
I'm tempted to take a little see where the cheapest flight is and just go there wherever it may be. Looking on Skyscanner and just see what turns up. I've got a couple of days off.
A city break or something.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe a beach break. I'm kind of open. But it'll only be a couple of days. So I don't know. I just kind of want to take the opportunities when I can, like I said, really. But anyway, yes, Paris was really good. And then I went down and celebrated my mum's birthday for a few days. Saw all my family. Went to a miniature steam train festival with my grandparents.
How was that?
It was really, really cute. My grandpa loves all that sort of stuff. And my grandma, we ended up queuing for 45 minutes to go on a little tiny steam train. And my 85-year-old grandma was like climbing over the barriers to get on this train. And stuff. it was really good. How have you been anyway?
Yeah, really good. Thank you, babe. Really good. Obviously missed you on the show last week, but I'm glad you've had a lovely week.
Thank you.
Was thinking about you having a lovely old time at Gaga.
Been gorge. How was it with Summer? Was she all right?
Yeah, lovely show, thank you. Nice to have Summer on, like, guest hosting again. And she's done it a couple of times, isn't she?
Yeah.
Really not. But I mean, typical. The minute you was out of the country, as it come up, I was like, this is such a Stephen story. When it comes to showbiz news about Eurovision being in the UK, I was like, how is Mr. Eurovision himself not here the week of all weeks? I bet you have been loving it. You've been on cloud nine.
I certainly have been. And I'm going to say to our producer, Maddie, who is in the room, but people can't see or hear, we need to get all the Eurovision guests we can next year. I'm telling you straight up. I want everyone. I want every contestant, every presenter, every commentator. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, they haven't announced where it's going to be or anything yet, obviously. But my money's on Glasgow. I think they'll want to do it in Scotland. Obviously really looking forward to that. And actually one of our guests today is an ex-Eurovision performer herself. So we've got a great show coming up. We've got Sara Aalto, who performed for Finland in Eurovision a few years ago, coming up first. And we've got ex-Geordie Shore star turned sort of music producer extraordinaire, Ricky Guarnaccio, which would be great. And then we've got Faye Winter from Love Island last year and now forthcoming MasterChef. To chat all things, I guess, reality TV. So great lineup this evening. But it will start with Sara Aalto and Eurovision. And obviously, I'm going to have to ask her what she thinks about the UK hosting. Because obviously, like you mentioned, it is a bit of a funny situation. We didn't win, we came second. So it's going to be a bit of an odd one because it's going to be very Ukrainian influenced, but held in the UK. So yeah, you're going to have to get on board this year, Bob. I'm sorry. It's gonna have to happen.
It's a sign. I'm definitely getting on board. And like you say, the fact it's in the UK, let's try and get as many of them on the show as possible. This is the year to get into it, though, I think. The fact it's coming home.
Yeah, well, we've got the Lionesses coming home and Eurovision. So, yeah, what did you watch the football? And did you hear about it? What was the?
I heard about it. I didn't watch it. I'll be honest. I think it was the semis. I was flicking through and I saw a little bit. I mean, I think incredible, and congratulations to all of them. I think it's so amazing, and I think going to be so inspiring now moving forward for girls that want to take up football, you know, from school, you know.
I hope so.
I mean, like, from looking back at when I was at school, it wasn't even an option for girls. I mean, to be honest, I didn't even want to play football, so no, I almost thought the girls got away lucky. I would have rather done the netball and the hockey.
Yeah.
But it was very much boys did rugby and football and girls did hockey and netball. And there was no merging with that. Mm. Whereas I think this goes to show, actually, who knows? We could have the next. We're on fire now. The next team. So I think that's going to be well inspiring. And any kind of sport for girls to get involved in, I think, so important. So no, incredible. Oh, I love the whole press interview at the end. Though, and they're all on the tables
dancing
around. Saturday night out. I was just waiting for someone to pull out a Jaeger.
Yeah, it was very much that vibe, wasn't it? I thought as well. It was quite funny. Then they did the. They did something in Trafalgar Square, didn't they, the morning after, and you could just tell 90% of those girls were absolutely hanging. They had their, like, sunglasses on. They just looked like some of them were like this, you know. Like,
probably no sleep. But yeah, I mean, you deserved it. I mean, good luck to them.
Yeah, I think one of them said as well, I think they'd partied more in the past 24 hours than they'd actually played football. but, you know, yeah, like you said, it's coming home, and it came home. Amazing for those women to have done what they did,
and I think iconic the fact it was against Germany. I mean, my limited football knowledge that never normally bodes well for the men's team, does it?
Yeah,
when we get to Germany,
exactly. The men's team are pretty rubbish against the German team, but when it comes to the women, seems like 10 times better. So much so we won. So yeah,
I mean, a funny meme on social media, and it was something like. All the men have been calling for it to come home for 50 years, and finally the girls were like, we'll go get it ourselves. Indeed.
yeah, such a good point. So good. And it's just great also, like, not just for, like, the school children, but the crowds, you know what I mean? They're so good natured. There's, like, families, way more families. It was one of the biggest crowds that Wembley had ever had. And you just think, like, incredible, like, great. Let's just keep it up. Like, I think
absolutely.
Really.
It's just another step in the right direction for it being exclusive to all. So no, I think it's an amazing thing. And as we say, congratulations again. They absolutely smashed it.
100%. So in other showbiz news this week, and talking about coming back, Big Brother, it's official. It's coming to ITV. There's no kind of details yet, are there? But what do you make of it? I know we've talked a little bit about it before. What do you make about it now?
I'm obsessed with the news. I love the show. I was a massive fan from, like, day one, Channel 4 days, and followed it through to Channel 5. Always especially loved, I mean, even in the early days, I loved all the series. But my favourites were always the celeb ones in January, which I think we've spoke about before, because kind of got over Christmas and that kind of took over January, which can be a bit of a depressing month. Let's have it right. And I thought it was quite sad. I was on the last bit on the side when it then left Channel 5, I think 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite emotional because as we finished filming that, literally they was taking the set down and that was it. And when I've recently filmed over at Elstree, where the second house was from, like, Series 3, over the couple of years you could see it was just derelict, and it was kind of a sad thing to see. It was kind of like, oh my God, that was, like, iconic, that house. And then, yeah, the last time I went, it's completely torn down, and there's a new stage built on it, which I think is a Netflix stage. So I don't know where the house will be, but I think it's great news. I think ITV2 is a great home for it. I'm intrigued to see what they bring to it, because I think every channel that's had it from 4 and then going to 5, it kind of changed slightly, and things do need to evolve. I would like to see it kind of go back to basics as much as possible, bearing in mind it's going to be 2023. So I think there's that fine balance in that where I think people feeding chickens isn't quite going to cut it. But I don't think it should be too overly heavily full of tasks I almost love the social dynamics, seeing the groups of people, how they interact, rather than it all being ag.
I saw something interesting today, actually, which was kind of along those lines. And they said, we don't want a house full of like influencers or, you know, like the people that you can see on other show with, you know, 1.5 million followers and they already have their own sort of thing. They want it to be, you know, Brenda from the corner shop or, you know, like just like, just more. So you actually really get interaction between people from different backgrounds and classes and races and sexualities and all sorts and see how it all turns out. And yeah, probably less about, I mean, I don't think these days you could have things like, you remember Fight Night?
Oh gosh, yeah, Series 5.
Yeah, I just don't think, not that there won't be fights and arguments, but I don't think they could get into that situation where angsty situation and they'd be encouraging it. I don't think that would really happen anymore.
Yeah. And I think from what I remember, I think that kind of time, I believe that was Series 5, that was still at a stage where it was streaming live. Do you remember that there was a channel and like you could just hear the birds?
Sometimes it was
just watching people sleep. And I used to think, why am I watching this? But I kind of would find myself watching a bedroom with the lights turned off and then it would cut to the kitchen. There might be two people up. And if they was talking about something that couldn't be aired, we'd then hear the birds or whatever.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember that the Fight Night, the public that was watching whilst it was streaming could see how bad it was getting. That they was actually calling the police, like telling them that there was a fight in the Big Brother house. So, yeah, that's kind of a mad kind of time of the show. But I am intrigued, obviously, because there's Love Island on there, so there is that kind of audience. And I think ITV2 will time it, so I don't think it's going to replace Love Island. Obviously, it's their biggest show on that channel. So I wonder, it would have to fit around that. Maybe it will come after, or maybe it'll come before. But I'm definitely excited to see,
what
the house is going to be. Yeah, because one thing I do want is I want the original. I want the Big Brother voice. Is he called Marcus Bentley?
Yeah. I agree with that.
I want him back. In terms of presenter wise, I don't think anything's been announced yet. I think I've seen that Jedward have put themselves forward saying that we was iconic housemates, we should present it.
What about you and me, Bob?
Let's do it. ITV, call us.
We're ready.
What a gig.
Might be a bit much, but they're saying, well, and I think they probably are keen on a completely fresh start, aren't they? So I don't think they'll have Davina or Emma Willis or maybe even Ryland on it. I think they'd want someone completely new. Maybe not completely unknown to the public, but completely new, so that it gives ITV their own spin on it, like you said. So lots to digest. But we'll have to wait until next year. I imagine we'll get some like leaked bits and bobs. I know they did say that the house will be in another location in the UK, so it won't be in the sort of Elstree studios. I wonder if it'll be Manchester, because there's loads of TV production stuff there now, isn't there? Probably Manchester, somewhere like that. Isn't that where they did The Circle as well?
Yeah, I believe that's where they filmed a lot of stuff. Because ITV have the big media city over there as well, don't they? Since they did all the new Corrie sets. So a lot of stuff is now shot in Manchester and up north. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it probably will go, because if this, even strategically and logistically, London trying to find lands and studios are hard to find now.
True, so many
have closed and become apartments just because the cost of property in London is ridiculous, really, if you think about it. Very, very excited. Also, showbiz news, though, I did say, again, we've been speaking about this, which feels like forever and a day. And actually, I found it mad to think that this has been going on longer than the pandemic, because that kind of blurs time, I think, the pandemic. The Wagatha Christie situation and story.
So
October 19, Colleen put out the infamous Instagram post, and which was obviously 4 or 5 months before we'd even heard the word COVID. But finally, this week, it's come to a conclusion, and Rebecca Vardy's lost her case, isn't she?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I know she's done her first interview now, isn't she, on Talk TV? And she's kind of said that she still insists that it wasn't, she wasn't the one that leaked the stories and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, has she done an interview?
Yeah, on Talk TV, yeah.
Ah.
Despite some of the sort of evidence really indicating that she did. But I mean, it's very much up in the air. So I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, let's talk about this at the end of the show, because our first guest, Sara Alto, is here. So let's get her in and chat.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hon.
Hello. How are you?
Really good.
Good. How have you been?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Like, enjoying my summer holiday at the moment. So,
where are you talking to us from? Are you in Finland?
Yeah, right now in Finland. Yes.
Lovely. What's it like over there? I've got a friend who's just gone back. She's finished and she's just gone back saying it's very nice there at the moment.
Well, I would say this has been like the coldest summer ever. So it's been quite chilly, to be honest, and really windy, but
maybe she's fine. In a different part to where you are. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, a bit different to here, which has been never ending heat.
Yeah, I know. But the weird thing was that I was in London in the end of June. Mm. I was there for like 10 days and it was just like raining and really chilly and cold. And I was like, no, like, and then when I came back here, the heat came to London and I was like, I missed that. Yeah. Well, bad luck, but.
It happens. It happens. So what have you been up to other than being on your summer holidays?
Well, actually, I've been cleaning my house for weeks. Like, I've just taken some time to just like throw things away, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person who always collect things. Like,
you're a hoarder.
A little bit, unfortunately. So I've been like, you know, throwing things away, and that's been very satisfying, to be honest. So it's been good. Yeah, and just seeing my friends and my family. Yeah.
There's something really, I love cleaning and tidying things and throwing out. I find it really good. Like, it's, I don't know what it is inside me, but when I get a bag out, I start thinking, well, I was going to tidy something up. And then before I know it, 4 hours later, I start becoming ruthless. I'm like, no, that can go. Recycle bag, charity shop. And I think it's good to have a clear out. Good for the head.
Good for your head.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like cleaning the energies, you know, like, whew, yes. Like, I have this, like, I think in my life, I'm recreating myself. That's how I feel. So I'm just like, you know, getting rid of all the old stuff, you know, somehow. Yeah.
And you've got to get rid of the old to bring in the new.
Yes, exactly.
Very true. Yeah. So you've got a new single out with in collaboration with Save the Children. Is that right?
That is correct.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so in June, yeah, mid-June, I released a song called This World, which is a charity song for Save the Children UK and also Save the Children Finland. And the story, actually, yeah, the story of the song is pretty incredible, because I actually wrote the song when I was 12 years old. So wow. It's like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I do remember the moment when I wrote the song, because I felt like a real artist after writing the song. It was my first English pop song. And I was like, yeah, I was writing it with my piano, singing and like writing the lyrics. And I felt like I'm saving the world with this song. And and then I got to record it in a studio. And it was never released, but I just, you know, I got this, like, you know, a burned CD out of it. And gave it to all my relatives, like, listen to this. And I found the recording 2 years ago when COVID started and lockdown started. And I was like, you know, going through my stuff again, because I have a lot, yeah, I have saved everything. So I was like going through everything, and I found the song and the recording, and I was like listening to it. And I realized that the lyrics were so relevant, like telling about the moment that we're living in the world right now, like where to find this safe place for us, and like how can we make this world a better place for everybody? And I was like, oh my God, this is so touching, so relevant. I need to do something with this song, because it's a good song. And I decided to finally, officially release the song. And I was so lucky, because I also found all the audio files of the song. So I actually found the file where I'm singing when I was 12. So I was like, okay, I can make it a duet. Like me, 34-year-old. Yeah, like it's crazy. Like I've never heard any artist, you know, doing a duet with their child version. Like
self, yeah.
So like that was an incredible idea, but it took me 2 years until I actually did it. And this spring, I was like, now I have to do this, because, you know, all the things with Russia, Ukraine started, and I was like, oh, it's getting even crazier, and I want to help. And I decided to release the song, but I also wanted to invite more children to sing with me in the song, because this song is all about how children view the world and mm-hmm. how children are worried about their world. And I found 10 amazing children to sing with me in the song. They're all singing in different languages. Like I was looking for somebody who is not like Finnish or British, but something else. And I found mm-hmm. all these amazing children, and you can hear like, there is like one Indian language in the song, and there is French and Spanish and like Chinese, like everything. And all the children were amazing. And we did a music video together. Oh, yes, and all the profits of the song go to save the children, to help children who are suffering from wars and conflicts around the world. So it's like this very, very big like campaign that kind of came out of that song that I wrote when I was 12. So it's pretty overwhelming to even think about it, actually, in a good way. Like, mm-hmm. wow, if only I had known.
How amazing, though, that it's come full circle. Because obviously, exactly. if someone had said to you at 12 years old, this is going to be released and the world we now live in. And also, what a wise head you must have had on your shoulders writing them lyrics that are relevant. Because I think back, I mean, I didn't even have a phone to send texts. So when you would write notes, if I could find my old notes or school planners when I was 12, I don't think I'd be making much of a song out of what I was writing.
Oh, no. Goodness.
And you've got a special gig coming up soon. Is that right?
Oh, yes, that is right. So, I wanted to build something nice around the song. So I'm actually holding a charity concert on 21st of August. So it's going to be really exciting to really...
And where's that?
So it's online. So okay. everybody can join. And actually, we even have like volunteer payment, like pay as much as you want. So everybody can join whatever their financial situation is. I wanted to make it as open as possible. But with the concert, we also try to raise as much money as possible for this charity. Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, and obviously you're no stranger to TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done quite a lot, especially like the reality and talent kind of show, got The Voice, Dancing on Ice, X Factor. With doing them kind of shows, do you find there's like did you suffer anxiety or find that hard on your mental health being in that kind of a show, going out to that many millions of people?
To be honest, for me, no, I had no problem with it. I think for me, well, the good thing is that I've done music since I was a child, obviously, and I've gradually built my career. So for me, when I've done these big TV shows, I've already had a long career before that. So it wasn't like, you know, if you have a sudden success like two and you just, you know, you are brand new to everything, it can really mess up your mental health. But for me, I was doing it so gradually that when all these big things like X Factor and Eurovision came, I was so prepared. I wasn't like a teenager. So I was able to really be very grounded. Well, not very grounded. That was a wrong term. You cannot be very grounded in TV shows like that. But I already knew what I was doing and what I wanted. And yeah, and I always take care of my mental health very carefully. Yeah.
And I guess it almost come organically, like you say, because you've always done music, it kind of would have been the next step. So it kind of made sense. Yeah. I'm not sure if you've seen, but apparently X Factor's coming back. How do you feel about that?
Well, I love the show, so I'm happy. But I'm not sure if this is the right moment, or should they maybe wait for a couple of more years.
Yeah, do you think the wait's moved on a little bit from sort of X Factory type shows? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, now that there's been a break, I think they could do a great comeback. I don't know, but I know what you mean. I think I think life has changed so much in the last couple of years, and people are so much more like into, you know, like not TV, but like these platforms where you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want. And TV is like, yeah, I don't know.
Changed a bit.
It has changed, but I still think there is always room for entertainment. Definitely.
Speaking of, I mean, you mentioned Eurovision. Obviously, for the first time in 25 or so years, it's going to be coming to the UK. Probably not on the back of a situation that anyone would have wanted, but it's happening, right?
Yeah.
What do you make of that? And what are you expecting the UK to do with the show?
Well, I'm going to be there definitely, like somewhere watching or performing, who knows? But like, definitely, I'm so excited that it's there. Finally, in the UK. And I think you will do it really well. I think like the UK knows how to do big TV shows, you know, because you do X Factor, you do all the biggest TV shows already. So you know how to do them. So I think it's going to be very easy and natural for you to do the biggest Eurovision ever. And I think you also, the UK has some like ambition to show that, hey, we can do this better than anybody else has ever done before. I have a feeling so yeah, I'm very excited to see how you do it.
And there's not been many chances for the UK to really do it in recent years, is there?
Exactly.
If it come down to winning it and getting it through that kind of way, I don't think there's been a venue ready and waiting every year, put it that way. So amazing that we get a shot at it.
Absolutely.
Would you consider entering again?
Yeah, I would actually. I'm not sure if I'm ready yet, but I think maybe sometimes in the future I could do it again, definitely.
Because in Finland, I'm a bit of a Eurovision fanatic, right? I'll put that straight out there. So I know they have their own selection show, right? Would you be willing to go through that sort of show process, or would you rather? I know some people in some countries they just get chosen by the broadcaster, right? Would you rather do something like that if it was your choice?
Yeah. Because in 2018, when I was representing Finland, they chose me, so I had no competition, which was great. But in the future, I mean, obviously, I would love to be invited. That would be amazing. But I think I would be ready to go through the process at some point. Maybe not yet, but maybe sometimes. Or I could try to do it for Sweden or for the UK. Who knows? Yeah.
Never say never.
I'd love to see you in it, so I think you'd be great. So
yeah,
that would you just be have fun. To get the right song as well, though. That's kind of the deal, isn't it? What did you make of Sam Ryder last year?
I think he as a person, like I love him, his voice, his outfit. It was really cool. The performance was really cool. It wasn't my favorite song, to be honest, but it wasn't like, ooh, I don't like the song. For me, like in the middle. Like I was like, yeah, it's a good song. And I was really like happily surprised when it did so well. I was like, wow, okay, people really like the song. Like, yeah, so I'm happy. Happy for you.
And we had the Rasmus in Finland this year, didn't you? Which was, and I really, do you know what? Their song is like probably in my top five from this year, to be honest. Oh. I actually voted for it.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Well, I voted for you the year you were in it as well, Sarah. So, you know. what else have you got coming up?
Well, I have some, but I can't tell you yet. So I have some things coming up this year, but they haven't been announced yet. So I can't say anything. So I'm sorry. But,
fair enough.
But there is, let's say, okay, I'm going to reveal something. I am doing something that I've never done before. So something that it's entertainment, but it's not singing.
Okay.
Let's say that.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. And it is something that you would never expect from me.
Color me intrigued. No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we'll see it here in the UK?
I think so. I think so.
Okay. Mm,
you should be able to. Yeah. But let's see. Very mystical.
Okay, no, that's fine. We get lots of people who say things like that. So we'll just stay intrigued.
watch this space moment.
Well, exciting times.
Yeah.
Are you staying in Finland for the rest of the summer, or do you kind of live between the two countries now? What's the deal?
Yeah. So basically, now that the world is opening up again, it's so weird. I'm like, I don't even know where I live. That's how I feel. I'm like, I'm just ready to go wherever I want to go. So basically, we are going to Spain in about a month or so. We've been to Spain many times actually during the last year, which we really love because of the sun and the warmth.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I will be back in the UK in September as well. So, I mean, yeah. So it's going to be some traveling. Yeah. So,
nice.
So basically, yeah, it's interesting. I just don't know where I'm going to be based in the future. It's so weird. Like this whole past 2 years have changed so much, like how I see the world and how the world works in general. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to me. And
definitely. Well, we'll be keeping an eye, Sarah. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Best of luck with your virtual gig in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
And I hope to see you soon.
And good luck with a secret project.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And if people want to join the concert or join the project, just go to www.thisworld.info. That's the campaign side, thisworld.info. So all the concert details, music video, everything is there.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
It's quite bizarre to think of a cold summer, isn't it? After the time we've had, but there you go. She's currently experiencing it in Finland. Bad timing to go back for the summer and have all that though.
And it's so mad because normally, but when we interview people from like America or somewhere here on Zoom, it's always us going, "Oh, it's cold.
Yeah,
it's raining.
Finally,
it's raining.
And we're beating someone
or something." For the first time ever, got to be the other way around.
Right, well, great. Our second guest, Ricky, is ready to come in, so let's get him in.
Hey, guys.
All right, Rick, how you doing, mate?
Good, Bob, how are you? You good?
Really good, thank you, really good.
Good, lad. What's been happening?
Keeping busy, mate. Good thank man. You for joining us. We're glad to have you on.
Yeah, sorry, I was a bit late.
No, that's all right. What have you been
Don't
up to,
it.
Mate?
Yeah, a lot of work, mate, to be honest with you. Gigs. In the studio, and then planning for Australia, and then filmed a TV show a little while ago as well. So yeah, it's all good.
Exciting times. How did the single come about, Rick?
I played it in a lot of my sets, and it's an absolute classic. People have known it for ages. So it was one of them songs that I really wanted to, sort of cover and really put my own shape to it. And I think Robin smashed the vocals as well. It's a pop dance record. I think it's a summer anthem that people can really enjoy and really dance to and, really groove to. So, yeah, I love it.
How have you found... Because obviously, originally, people will know you from reality TV.
Yeah.
How have you found kind of branching out into other avenues? Do you think there's kind of like... Do we get judged from people that started out in reality TV when we try and do other things, do you think?
Yeah, of course we do. But, I mean, with DJing and producing, I mean, it's 5-6 years I've been putting blood, sweat and tears into it, really. No one really saw us in my basement grinding away, learning. Because I didn't want to be one of those people that just jumped on, press sync, and then was one of these fake DJs. I absolutely love what I do. I've got a huge passion for it. And like I said, I've put a hell of a lot of time into it. I've signed with a really good record label, Love Another, which is under Tool Room. So I've got a really good team around us. I just absolutely love doing what I do, mate, to be honest with you. It's class.
And that's the thing, when you've got a passion for something and you're good at it, I don't think people should be judged where anyone's come from. Do you know what I mean? But I kind of do think that it was almost a snobbery against reality. Talent speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It's quite clicky. But I mean, I think you're going to get that in any line of work that you get to, especially from us coming from reality TV. I jumped into doing a few movies, and now I've obviously jumped into doing music and stuff. But you put your heart and soul into something, you can do whatever, really. But I think people do get sort of pinholed in regards to, you're for reality TV, how can you be a DJ, that kind of stuff. But yeah, like I said, I've put a hell of a lot of time into it, and hopefully the music will speak for itself as well. I've got another 2 singles coming out later this year. with MTV show. So yeah, mate, the future's good. So look, I'm just having fun with it as well. I'm doing my own thing. I'm enjoying working with the people I'm working with and with the singers and that as well, jumping in the studio with different producers and different people from all over the UK and stuff. So yeah, it's good.
Is music where your passion's at now, mate? Would you happily kind of leave the acting and the TV behind to concentrate on that?
It's hard, mate, because it's reality TV. I mean, it's good because we get a hell of a lot of money for doing it as well.
I was going to say the money's the thing that people
are back to. Too bad, mate. It's too bad. but it does help with the music as well. Obviously, having that fan base, you've already got a fan base that you can open up all them doors to and play your tunes to, and whether they like it or not, it's up to them. But I mean, I'll be going back to Australia later on this year. I'm looking at doing a movie again next year, and then hopefully a TV show at the end of this year as well, along with one that's coming out in a few months. So yeah, I wouldn't knock it on the door, but I mean, money's too good.
So the show coming out in a few months, is this the Geordie Shaw, like the reunion, the 10 year thing?
I don't know. Are they doing a reunion like that?
Okay, we're playing that game. 5-5-5.
I mean, nothing I've heard about it, so you'll have to wait and see.
Because it's been announced that after if it does happen,
yeah,
the reunion, that the show's no more. Is that right for what I've seen in the press?
I've got no idea, man. I hope not. I mean, Geordie is what we all started with. So the longer it continues, the better it is for all of us. Even myself, it's still Ricky from Geordie Shore. And even though I've got an alias now of Ricky G with doing the music, because I wanted to sort of transition instead of being Ricky Ganasio. I wanted to do sort of its own lane. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I hope it continues because, I mean, it's been a global phenomenon, really. I mean, one of the biggest reality TV shows to come out of the UK. MTV, I think it's into its 23rd, 24th series or something. I do get the change of cast where I think people related to us from the start. Mm. because you had your guys in charge, you had me and Vicky, and you had your James and Jays, and it was kind of, people could relate to us in them early days of the relationship stuff with me and Vicky and arguing and kicking off and fighting. And it was all natural. It was all real. And you couldn't script it. I've done so many interviews saying, was it real? And it's like, yeah, 100%. I got kicked out more than I was in the show. You think I'm going to get kicked out? I got fined more than I made on the bloody show. So, yeah, for everyone that doesn't believe that it was real or scripted, 100%. And I'll give you a funny story as well. So when I was in Cancun, when I got engaged to Vicky, I think I got kicked out three times. And the third time, my manager was on the phone to me and he said, Ricky, can you not just fucking say nothing and just sit there and do nothing instead of getting kicked out? And I was like, man, it's the drink. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But I think that's what sort of people hold on to and people grasp to as well. That sort of love and connection that people had with us from the day and age of the very beginning. Yeah. And as you've seen, the cast have changed. And I know a few of the cast that are in it now, and they're great people and they're lovely. But I do understand as well where it's kind of, I mean, at some point it will have to come to an end, but I just hope it's not too soon anyway.
I think you're right in what you're saying. I think the shows like ours, whether it's Geordie, Towering, like the same for Made in Chelsea, I think for us that was on it early doors,
yep,
the audience and fans, back then we had nothing to compare it to. Like when Towering came out, there was nothing like anything like that. So no one went into that show expecting anything, wanting anything. Actually, we didn't know who was even going to be watching it. It was like, well, we're just going to a club or we're going to have a coffee. And
yeah,
it was a friendship group. And I think when people invest, and obviously as we grow, they grow. So we all kind of went through that, life changes, similar ages. So I can kind of see when audiences dwindle a bit, when the faces from the early days then leave.
Yeah. See, what I find about what you're saying as well, Bob, I think we didn't really contradict each other in regards to TV shows. I think you had your Towie where it was kind of, you had those scenes where it was sort of like the dramatic sort of, you had your sort of drama TV show where everyone could invest their time and get the cup of teas and enjoy it, like watching like Coronation Street or something like that. But then on the flip side, you had Geordie where it was kind of, all good.
Raucous.
Yeah, it was just nuts. And everyone was banging each other and everyone was drinking. Everyone was arguing and fighting and that kind of stuff. So I think when them shows were around as well, even Made in Chelsea, I think we had a really nice blend of TV shows.
Yeah.
The issue, I
no
think,
one was tread on anyone's toes. The three no, kind of all. Shows, there was no kind of rivalry there because they all had their own niche.
Exactly. But I think the Valleys struggled because it was kind of another reflection of Geordie, where I think that's why it just flopped. But in regards to TV shows, I can understand the reality TV aspect now because you've got your Love Islands now as well. And I'm hearing this Big Brother coming back.
Yeah.
So you're going to be getting another influx of TV shows, and Love Island kills everything, mate. I mean, it's huge. What they do with the ITV, it's just, you can't do the numbers that they're doing. It's incredible.
You've done
Celeb Big Brother. I've done
Celeb Big Brother, mate. How do you feel about Big Brother coming back? Did you enjoy your time in the house? I mean, you're used to being locked up in an house.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, though. I thought it was
Very different to Jill Day.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying them, I was like, you've stuck a 27-year-old party boy in a house with no tools. I mean, I know Charlotte was in before me, and I think with Ofcom, with the amount of complaints, because I know she pissed the bed and stuff like that, I think they calmed down.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So they calmed down on the drinking aspect, and I drink a lot. Like, I drink a hell of a lot. So we were getting these little gin, like, lemonade stuff, and so, like, we're struggling. I'm just like,
I was didn't even touch the sides.
They're like little 4% things.
There were just, I mean, for me and David in that as well, I met some great people in there. Obviously, David McIntosh is one of my best mates. Dee, I still speak to all the time. I met some great people from it. But in regards to enjoying it, I mean, it was one of them where I was kind of thinking, like, I thought it sort of ruined my experience being in there with the actual TV show. Because I remember before I was thinking, I could go in and smash that. But there were certain times where it was kind of, I think they knew what they wanted and the direction they wanted to go with it as well. So Gary Busey was, we were all up for eviction. And Gary Busey was sat in his pyjama bottoms and his jacket. So I remember, I think it was Dee saying, oh, Gary, you're not going to get ready for eviction night. And he was like, no. I mean, it's in my contract that I'm in his little final. I was fucking kidding. Whose leg you been pissed on? So it was one of them where it was kind of, I mean, even during the day and stuff, for the first 11 days, we were on rations. So I had no energy, but I understand why the producers do that, because they want you to kick off and be argumentative and tired and that kind of stuff. But for me, I was just wanting to sleep. And on a night, I was kind of like, right, this is my mojo, this is my time, let's put a show on. And it was kind of, there was no drink. I remember
just two gin and tonics in a tin.
Honestly, mate. And I remember being in bed, I was like, do you know what it is? I'm going to act like a little kid. I'm going to put myself to bed. I was like, screw this. So I remember putting myself to bed. I was like, nah, if you're not giving us any drink, I'm not staying up. And then it was like, I can't remember whatever the room was called. It was like, the thingy's room was being filled up with drought or whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, you're playing these games with me.
It was like sitting there ready to go. They were like, oh, now he's kicked off. Here you go.
Yeah.
You can have another two jeans. Do you think it's time for it to come back? Because obviously it's been rested for 4 or 5 years. Do you think it's going to do good in ITV now?
Yeah, mate, 100%. But I think ITV, it'll do wonders on as well. You can't go wrong on ITV, mate, at all. It's huge. And the numbers that they do, I mean, it'll coincide with however they're going to show it this time. They'll mix it up and get a new presenter and that kind of stuff as well. So I think it'll have a different show. It'll be a different flair and different influx of people. And it'll have its own sort of, nice sort of view to it, where it will be different to the other one, but the same. But I think because of the numbers that they're doing ITV, mate, I think it'll just do crazy. Yeah, so... Yeah. I'm excited for my watch. I'll tune in. I'll be slagging everyone off and ranting everyone on. And
like, won't we all? That's the whole point.
They haven't announced if they're going to do the celeb one, but I'm guessing it's only a matter of time. Once they've got that house built, that the celeb ones are a formula they know works. Who don't want to watch 12 celebrities in an house together when half of them hate each other?
The issue that you've got with the celebs is, and I'll be honest, is... people going in and asking for big paydays and then doing jack shit. It's looking for them right people that they're going to get in, and being able to work with them where it's kind of like, screw all the not feeding people and not giving much alcohol. Give them loads of food, give them all loads of alcohol, and let them do sort of, let them do games and stuff where it's going to cause influx of like hatred towards people and nastiness, where they're going to be slagging each other off and they're going to be confused because they're like, oh, is that person slagging me off or whatever? So they need to play games with people in there in regards to that, because when I was in, we're only doing one game a day. One for 1 hour, one game a day.
And I bet you it was bored shitless.
mate, honestly, me and Tosh were doing laps of the garden watching the planes go by, and I remember he was like, and he was, I remember him saying there was only so much working out and press ups and stuff that you could do in there as well. And I mean, I know I had the thing with Lauren Gutter and stuff, but it's kind of like, you know, when you're in a house where you're in a house, it's like Geordie as well. It's kind of, you've only got what's there in front of you to work with.
Yeah, so
do you know what I mean? So it's like, but we were doing laps of the garden watching the planes. I remember Tosh saying to me, he's like, I've had my fee. I was like, I want to go see my baby girl. I was like, mate, you're not leaving me. I was like, you're not leaving me.
You can totally see. Yeah, I mean, I can totally see. And I imagine they're going to be keen to make sure that people aren't doing that in this new series.
100%. But. I mean, yeah, I mean, the fees are great for Big Bro, but it's kind of, it is what it is, really. People are going to do whatever they're going to do.
Ricky, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it.
Sorry for being late.
Don't worry about it at all.
Anytime. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, you too, lads. Enjoy yourselves. Right, see you later.
Good luck with the singles. Cheers.
Cheers a lot.
Bye. I mean, it could go either way with Big Brother. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. Our final guest, Faye Winter, is here, so let's get her in.
Hi, darling.
How are you doing, Faye? All good?
Yeah, good, thanks, love. You okay?
Very good. It must be a really exciting time for you. Not only is you obviously you've been all in Love Island, but now you got MasterChef.
I know. I've done all right, haven't I?
How were you finding MasterChef?
Well, I'm just going to stop my camera. We finished recording it, filming probably February. Yeah, so we've been waiting for it to come out for a long time. So now I'm just chilled. I'm like, I've done the stressful part. I'm all right. Yeah. Well, I say that. It depends what the edit comes out like, doesn't it?
Good point.
This is always the thing. Are you much of a cook, though, Faye? Like, are you quite good with a saucepan and a spoon?
Absolutely not. I mean, I can like rustle something up from the freezer, but I'm a takeaway girl. I've always been a takeaway girl or take me out type of girl. No, I'm not one of these to sit at home. But now I'm like, oh no, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. Teddy's like, oh.
Did you learn some stuff from doing it then?
You learn so much, and I think that's the thing that actually surprised me the most. So even in like a short space of time, you learn so much, and I'm like, geez, I didn't even learn this much when I was in school. Oh my God, look at me now.
So week one, obviously, like you say, you're a freezer girl. There's one thing throwing some chips and fish fingers in the oven for half hour and then getting the Tommy K out. What do you do when they put you in the kitchen and like, right, cook something? Obviously, there's no McCain's, other brands are available, and no pot noodles that you can rustle out. What did you do? Did you practice a bit before?
Well, I was like looking up recipes, like there's no tomorrow, like going into Tesco's and Asda, like looking at their little magazines, like, oh my God, is there anything I can do
with it? A bit of inspo.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't really know what to do. And the worst thing is you can't really prepare for half the challenges. So I was like, hang on a minute, like I could be doing one dish, but actually they're going to throw me a curveball and give me like a pork chop and I'd have no idea what to do with that.
And that's actually quite tricky pork, I think, to cook. It's a little bit too long and it goes like a leather boot.
Yeah, I know, a little bit too little and you can kill someone. It's a risky job,
yeah,
that.
Real balancing act.
Shits or death. What are you going to get?
I'm going for the death every time because I wear a lot of white.
So obviously you can't reveal how well you do, but are you happy, I guess, even getting on there and getting past, if you get past week one, I guess that's a bonus if you're a freezer girl. But are you happy with how you did?
I mean, like you say, to even get on the show was just mad. Like, I was like, me? And then obviously I walked in because they don't tell you who you're going to be filming with. I walk in like Paul Chuckles there and Danny from McFly. And I'm like, what the earth am I doing here? All I'm known for is a bloody old potty mouth. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I'm not going to have to just rustle up in the kitchen. I'm also going to have to rustle up my language. Oh,
and it's BBC as well, isn't it? So you've got to be careful.
Yeah, and it's not past 10 o'clock.
That's the thing as well. Do producers ask you, like, obviously, when your agent says, right, this job's coming, and you're then speaking to production, do they say, what's your cooking abilities? Do they ever see you cook before day one?
No. So they ask like what your cooking ability is. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm from like a very working class family. My mum cooked every night. We didn't go to fancy restaurants. My dad, I mean, he definitely was an old HGV lorry driver. So you can imagine like he wants a big old plate, and that's what we would establish a good restaurant to a bad restaurant for. Yeah. So I can't, like, my mum was like always good in the kitchen, so I kind of knew how to turn the oven on to 180, and that was really about it. And I was like, oh no, I told my mum I was doing it, and she was like, oh, you're going to embarrass me twice in a year. Great.
Well, I think that's amazing. When you're not particularly something like good at something, I think when you even try and you do it, I think that's off to you. That's amazing. To even give it a go thinking, right, I might be shit, I'm not the best here, but to still do it, that's off, babe.
I just feel like the last year has like surprised me so much. And I'm like, if you don't challenge yourself, you don't actually get pushed forward in life. Mm-hmm. So the last year for me, although I've been so uncomfortable from, you know, doing my first audition for Love Island to then going on and on screen and then doing red carpets, like, unless you push yourself out of your comfort zone, you're never going to grow. So I was like, oh, we'll just try it. Like, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I can get kicked out on day one. Like, but at least I tried it. So yeah, I mean, what experience.
I can't wait to watch it.
What have you, did you watch the final of Love Island?
I did. Yeah, I haven't watched all of it the whole way through, but I was like, oh, I want to watch the final. I want to be like, oh, more so because I want to be bloody nosy. I don't want to hear out from the Daily Mail first. I want to know.
So what do you think of Davide and Ekin-Su winning?
Oh, I feel like they were all deserving winners. And, you know, everyone always says to us, like, to me and Teddy, like, oh, how do you feel about, like, not winning? And I'm like, yeah, but we did win.
So you actually found someone. Yeah.
So actually, only because you win 50 grand doesn't mean that you actually win the show. Because if that's what you went on for, then obviously you won. But actually, if you went on there for the right reasons, then, and you come out with someone that you actually really adore, then you're actually a winner in your own right. So I think they're all deserving winners, to be fair.
Do you think as years go on, people are all going in for that reason to actually find love? Or do you think there's some that are looking for the blue tick, the clothing deal and the 50 grand at the end, which no tea, no shade. Some people
will
do what you want to do.
Some people have done very, very well from it. You know,
millionaires. Like,
yeah, like obviously, but it depends on what you judge success on, isn't it? Like, I don't judge success on how much money I've got. And this world has definitely shown me that. I judge it on how happy I am. And I think to myself, actually, there's been like my darkest days coming out of Love Island. But yeah, some people definitely do go in there for that. And I think it's very telling now. Like, I went in there with 1,000 followers. I took a sabbatical from work. I was like, I'm coming back. And then I was obviously in there for 8 weeks. But some people have already gone in there with management. They're already setting up deals behind. So they already know what they're going in there for. Mm. But I mean, from the back of it, I'm doing Celebrity MasterChef. Like, you know, I came out and I was very much like, I don't want to do like fast fashion. I that's not me. I don't really know, like, and a lot of people said to me, like, Faye, we don't really know what to do with you because I want to do property. I want to do dogs. And that's what I'd done before. So yeah, it's just a bit of a strange one, but a lot of people do go in there now for that, for sure. But yeah, that's off to them. That's what they went in there for and they got it. Yeah. Who can judge them?
Yeah, definitely. I always think that the nicest stories are, though, the ones that find love. Do you know, for me, as someone, when you watch the show, the clue's in the title, isn't it? Love Island. Of course, amazing things come off the back of it. You get a profile. And of course, you can't knock people for that. But I think if you go in there with like organic reasons and you want to find someone, that comes across. And when someone does, what's better than that? Do you know what I mean? Like you say, that's better than splitting 50 grand between two people, 25 grand or finding love.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, 25 grand is a hell of a lot of money, especially with what's going on in the world. Like, times are hard for people, so I'm not saying it's not. But love's nice.
Look, yeah, and do you know what? I went in the show with an open heart. I thought I had an open heart until I got in there and I was like, hang on a minute, and saying what I signed up for. But, you know, I came out with exactly what I went in there for. And it's weird because that's what people always say to me, like, oh my God, you and Teddy. And I'm like, yeah, like we went in there. We were from completely different sides of the UK. We never would have met. So we have to give everything and every thanks to Love Island. And I just hope that obviously, I kind of always hope everyone goes in there with the same kind of, I guess, initiative, but that's not all people go in there with. So, you know.
How are things with Teddy? Is he good?
Oh, he's great, isn't he? Thing is, everyone always says that to me, and I'm like, what, do you want me one day to turn around and be like, do you know what? I actually got something to say. That everyone knows
number one,
like.
Number two.
Nah, he's lush and he's a bit all right.
So you've basically been together a year now, right? Just, is it?
A year. We've been together a year. It's mad. I'm like, hang on a minute, I've moved out of Devon. And now I'm in like a proper relationship. I'm like, where's my ring?
Is that the next stage, do you think?
I don't know. I'll leave it up to him, I suppose. I've got to let him do something.
Have you dropped a few hints, though?
Oh, only like every day where I'm like that.
And do you know showing the ring you want? Do you know the shape, the size? Are you like, you know, one of those you strategically scroll and go, no ring, lovely. Zoom
no,
in.
Don't do it on the phone, but if we do see someone, I'm like, oh, look at her ring. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a nice ring. I'm like, yeah, I want it bigger.
That's such a like low-key reaction. Yeah, that's a really nice ring. You're like, okay, and then? Yeah, and then what now?
Want to go to the jewellers tomorrow?
Like, oh, what a lovely teardrop.
Obviously, there's no pressure on him.
Fair. Well, Faye, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And can't wait to see your MasterChef. Sounds like some good
thank you.
Can't wait to see you do some fish fingers and chips.
Yeah, that's when we got beans on toast.
Delish. Who don't want that?
Thanks for joining us.
Later.
Bye, Faye.
Bye.
Oh, there we go. She's gone. Do you think that would be your sort of your skill set if you were doing MasterChef then? Or are you a bit better than that, Bob?
This will surprise you, but I love cooking. But what I cook very well. What would I struggle on MasterChef is anything fish, because I don't eat it. If you give me a bit of meat, there ain't nothing I can't do with a good bit of meat.
Oi, oi.
My presentation, I think, is actually quite good. I mean, would I get a job at Gordon Ramsay's? Probably not. But
would you want one? I mean, more to the point, probably not.
I mean, I kind of do crush on old Gordon Ramsay, but that's probably not the best thing for your boss anyway. I know, weird, isn't it? I feel getting strange taste. But fish, if you gave me like a haddock or whatever it is, you know, when they throw down a big old fish, and if you ain't gut it, take the bones out, wouldn't have a clue where to start. But give me a steak, roasting up. Anything like that. I mean, you don't get to do roasts on MasterChef. That's my speciality, though.
Interesting. Well,
steak, amazing. So,
you're waiting
yeah.
for the call there, Bob, are you? Waiting for that call to come through?
Yeah, but if I could say, can I not do anything fish? Because I don't know what to do.
They must allow for people who are vegans or veggies, I would think.
I think you're still expected to cook it. And it's not that I wouldn't want to touch it. It's just I wouldn't know. Because I've never done it, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
and I'm one of them people, I don't particularly even like eating meat off a bone. So if you throw a fish down and it's looking at you and it's legit got eyes, I can't bear that. Like with my friends, or if I'm on a date and they all don't, like, you know, the big fuck off prawns.
Yeah.
It's like the ones in a special fried rice. And you have to decapitate it. And I sit there over the table and they're taking heads and tails off. And it's like, his fucking eyes are there on the table looking at you. I'm like, I can't.
Oh, when you throw it like that. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't want my food to look at me before I eat it.
Fair point. I can completely understand that. Well, I was going to say at the end of the show, we should talk a bit about Colleen and Becky, but we've kind of run out of time. To be honest, I imagine we'll be talking about it in weeks to come, because now that Becky's spoken out, I imagine Colleen's going to have something to say at some point.
I think Colleen's quite a private girl. You don't really hear much from... I mean, obviously, I know that's hard to believe after the last 3 years and the whole case, but I think Colleen keeps herself pretty quiet, unless she'll want to get her word out and then that's it. Shop shut, job done.
I can imagine, but can you imagine that whatever Colleen says, Becky will then have something else to say? It's one of those things.
Where does it end? And in Rebecca's interview, she said, has she got... to appeal it, because that's also the thing with court cases. She could, if she wants, try to appeal it, but it carries it on even longer.
And then the expense of the legal bills get bigger and bigger, don't they? And then it's like, where does it end? Are you really prepared at that point to just spend anything? Like, I don't know.
It's rumoured to have cost more than $3 million. And I think I don't know if I'm right in saying this, I'm sure Colleen has come out somewhere publicly and said it would have been better put towards a charity. Which it was £3 million in any charity that we're in a cost of living crisis here.
Yeah. Or giving it to a food bank, anything, you know. Lots of things that sort of money could have gone to. And for what in the end? Just ego, I think. But, you know, nothing. I mean, I can also understand why you'd want to do it if it was you at the end of it.
And to try and clear your name.
Becky's situation.
It's a hard one. Yeah, you want to clear your name and stuff like that.
Really hard.
Like you say, though, I'm sure it will continue. And who knows, next week we'll probably be talking about something else.
Exactly.
In it. So, lovely show. Good to have you back, babe.
Good to be here and great guests as ever. So until next time, everyone, goodbye.
Bye, guys.